Why do young people get cancer and die? I don't know. But I do know that when Jesus heard his cousin had been beheaded by Herod for telling Herod the truth, for doing the loving thing, and trying to change someone's life, Jesus went off to a lonely place to be by himself. And when Lazarus, his best friend, died, the scriptures give us the shortest sentence in the Bible: Jesus wept. Tears and poetry, perhaps, are the only things that touch the soul at this time. But all of us are called to use weak words to express things for which sometimes there are only tears. And so I, as a Christian, will try to remind us of the gospel passages that say to us, there are people who are too young to die, but they were ripe for the kingdom. There is an old saying that says, for Christians, life is fair, very fair. Because the goal of the Christian life is not to have good things happen to you, but for you to become good. And whether you end up in a bed with cancer, on the cross outside of Jerusalem, crucified by the people you love, or you end up in the richest home anywhere in the planet, life will have been very fair to you. Because all the things that you had around you will melt away, and you will have become the person you have chosen to be. If you are sick and have cancer, the question remains the same: how can I be a better person? If you are healthy and full of possibility, the question remains the same: how can I become a better person? We have a society that confuses intimacy with proximity, stimulation with satisfaction, achievement with character. And we preach a gospel that is the exact opposite and reminds us that you are not a slave to the things you own or the things that people say, but you have the freedom to become the beautiful person you are called to be. Andrico, in some measure, achieved that. And life was fair to him because he became the person he chose to be. He valued the moments and he valued the opportunity and his family. He was not without fault or without sin, as none of us are. But who's the hypocrite? The one who says, at least I'm not trying at all? Or the one who at least tries and fails and gets up and stumbles and tries again? The church is not a museum for saints. It's a hospital for sinners. If you're perfect, go to the mall. There's nothing God can do for you. But if you are struggling and fighting, like Andrico did, and gave us a valiant example of no matter what age, of how you can take seriously this beautiful gift that you are. The goal is not to achieve your dreams, but to become a dream. You are the dream. And so whether you achieve great things in business, finance, you must be the achievement. You must value that beautiful gift that you are to others, to yourself, and to God. Because we believe before we were born, we were a dream in God's mind. And God wants the best for us. Length of days, the wisdom says, is not what makes age honorable, nor number of years. The true measure of life, understanding, this is gray hairs, untarnished life. This is ripe old age. But the souls of the upright are in the hands of God, and no torment can touch them. To the unenlightened, they appeared to die. Their departure was regarded as disaster. Their leaving us was like annihilation, but they are at peace. If, as it seemed to us, they suffered punishment, their hope was rich with immortality. The intimations to immortality are throughout nature, from the transference of energy that goes from one to another and never wanes, from the seeds that are planted in the ground, as I said in the Ukrainian sermon. If you showed a child an acorn and you said, you know this acorn, and that 60-foot oak tree are exactly the same. Oh, no. Yes, you have to put it into the ground. You have to watch it rot and fall apart. And you wait many years and it will be the oak. And the 2 or 3 or 4 year old child will say something is wrong with you. How can this weak body put in the cemetery, the place of the seed in Latin, the place of the field of the Lord, sprout into eternal life? This is our belief. Full of hope, even our disaster is ripe with immortality. Let me conclude with this little story that I've spoken often. There was a rich man driving by a poor village, and he saw a boy walking with one shoe, and he stopped and said, "Son, have you lost a shoe?" And the boy says, "No, I found one. I found one." No one in this life can ever know someone loves them. You have to believe it. All the signs can be faked. So we always say, "I believe they love me." And often we ask the question, "Do you love me?" "I love you. I love you." But this is full of belief. So we as Christians, although we may be a shoe short now, we are still called to love Andriko. To love him in everything that we do, to do good things in his name, to remember him and to pray for him, and to remind ourselves that we continue with this life helping one another. So if you want to preserve a monument, make a monument in your life of good deeds, of good words and good thoughts, that will make it easier for your neighbor to live a better life, that will carry someone else's burden. You are the monument. In Middle English, there was a word that went goodbye. It's a Middle English contraction. When I can't go on a journey with you, I said, "God be with ye." So today to Andriko, I say goodbye. May God be with you. He will carry you to the heavenly kingdom. And I will try in your name to do good things today and tomorrow. This is the goal of our life. Not simply to be in our own little shell, looking at our joys and our pains, but sharing what you can, lifting up where you can, and seeking in God the strength and the wisdom to do better each day. And we will see that just like Andriko, life will be very fair to each of us. You will always become the person you have chosen to be. Slava Isusu Christu.